WWA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Something and you want to get the devil back, do it like this. Bam! In your face, devil! That's right. Come on now. That's how you do it. Now, if you're really excited, go bam! In your face, devil! Good morning on this Monday morning. Look, bride, today is the last day of Leviticus. Yay! We are doing 6 chapters today because we are going to finish Leviticus today. Look, bride, let me tell you, Leviticus has been amazing. It has been amazing. I didn't expect this book to be this awesome, but it is. You know why? Because we are learning the heart of God. He's setting his boundaries for his relationship with mankind. And he's doing it through Moses. Remember the first time when he met Moses up on the mountain, the people built the calf. And then when they did, God got mad. He was going to kill them all. Moses interceded and saved them. But Moses got so mad he broke the tablets. Well, God gave him a second chance. God wrote the laws himself on tablets again. But this time, God showed out. He shook the mountains, lightning, the cloud. I was like, wow, God is really showing out. And he told him, he said, I am the Lord your God. He has said that time and time again, bride. So let's review so far what we have learned all the way up to Leviticus chapter 22. In the beginning of time, Adam and Eve sinned, remember? They sinned and died. Remember it said when they sinned, they died, and he had to remove them out of the garden. So he had to create the first border. He put an angel at the border and keep them out. because sin separates. This is why it's so important for us to understand Leviticus. What is God's heart about sin? What does he say? Why do we have to do certain things for sacrifices and all that? And why does God feel the way he does? Okay, then we go through Noah. God destroys the world because of sin. Okay, then we come through with the Tower of Babel. And then we come through to Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroys the whole city because of sin, homosexuality. And then we're coming through to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now we're all the way to Moses. Okay, well, Moses now has the law of the Lord, and God told him to create a temple. Okay, so now the children of Israel are out of the wilderness. Moses creates this temple. Remember, God tells him from the inside out. He does the Holy of Holies into the outer courts. And then God tells them, this is how I want the priest to act. This is how I want the priest's sons to act. They have to wear this certain stuff. They have to walk a certain way. They have to kill the animals a certain way. They have to do it like this and do it like that. Well, two of Aaron's sons thought they could do it better their way and brought strange fire before God, and God killed them dead. Now, here's Moses and Aaron having to watch God's judgment come down on Aaron's children. And what did Moses tell Aaron? Do not even act like you're grieved, or you will have the judgment come upon you as well. And he held his mouth. That's what the word said. How would that be, Brian? Can you imagine watching your own children die because of their sin and what's in their heart got exposed before God? And then God had to wipe them out. Well, we saw that Aaron held his peace. Now, don't forget, Brian, this is the same Aaron, the same one that built the calf. Remember, he bowed to the public pressure. We talked about the preachers in today's time, how they are bowing to public pressure and they're doing the emergent church and the ecumenical and all this stuff to get along with society and to have the big church and to do, you know, people pleasing. Political correctness, church correctness, trying to please society, right? That's what Aaron did. Boy, Aaron got in so much trouble. But look, God still made him priest because Aaron had a repentful heart and he was honest. He had a repentful heart. So now God's laying down the law, and it cost him two of his children's lives. Probably they may have seen him participate in the sin before, and that may have been in their heart. I mean, who knows, right? Okay, but it was so amazing that he held his tongue whenever God took two of his children. And remember Jacob, the same thing happened with Jacob. So here we are now, and we've learned how God told them, when I take you into the land I'm taking you into, you are not to participate with that culture. You're not to look like Egypt, act like Egypt, talk like Egypt, participate with Egypt. You are not to take their culture on. You're not to take their gods on. You shall have no other gods before me. God is laying down the law. Laying down the law that he has high expectations for them. And they are his own. And remember, Bride, we talked about this. Yes, you had the children of Israel, but you also had the whole entire planet. But God had rules for them. Why? Because they are his own. They are his children. And he has high expectations for them. How dare the ministries today tell people there's no expectations of them. How dare them? This is God. He is holy. There's huge expectations on his children. Do you have expectations for your children? Why wouldn't God? Do you discipline your children? So does God. And that's what's about to happen with the judgment. He's going to have to discipline us a little bit because we've went way off course. Now, Bride, remember what we learned in the last session on Friday. Oh, my goodness. How sad was this about the land? That the land spewed up the vomit out of the ground, spewed up the sin. We read it twice on Friday. How the ground will retaliate against the sin. The very land And remember, I prayed on Friday. I'm like, Lord, please have mercy on America, because the sin in our country has been so great. I can just, you know, picture all the prophecies that's come out about the, you know, the earthquakes and the floods and all this stuff, where the earth basically, you know, gives justice for the sin that was committed. And what we've learned, Bride, about land is that the land takes it serious what happens on it, because Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed based upon the filth of the sin. So was Noah's day. The whole entire planet paid the price. All the dirt paid the price then. Sodom and Gomorrah, all the different ones. So, I tell you what, it's just, it's been so amazing, the book of Leviticus. But I wanted to read you what this website says about Leviticus 18. Remember Friday I told you that when God says, I am the Lord your God, that he is saying, I am jealous for you. You're mine. I don't even try nothing. So I would like to read this person's interpretation of that. Okay, so this is from Leviticus 18, verse 2 through 4. He says, this renewed mention of the divine sovereignty over the Israelites was intended to bear particularly on some laws that were widely different from the social customs that obtained both in Egypt and Canaan, for the enormities which the laws enumerated in this chapter were intended to put down were freely practiced or publicly sanctioned in both of those countries. And indeed, the extermination of the ancient Canaanites is described as owing to the abominations with which they had polluted the land. There you go. Talking about the land. I did put that link right up on the website. You can see at the top of the page here, it's see all of our Bible studies at www.theamericanexpose.com. Also up on YouTube on watb.tv, we have all the Bible studies up there, plus all the Bible studies of the idols, the 40-day idols are up there as well. Okay, Bride, let's go ahead and get started. Remember, I use the King James Version only. And we are doing Leviticus chapter 22.
Leviticus 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations, that goeth unto the holy things, which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper, or hath a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. And whoso toucheth anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goeth from him, or whosoever toucheth any creeping thing whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatsoever uncleanness he hath, the soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean until even, and shall not eat of the holy things unless he wash his flesh with water.
Okay, Bride, remember when we talked about touching the unclean thing? This is another example. God does not want us touching the unclean thing. Basically, he considers his children pure. Pure, no mixing and no touching, no partnering, because, look, remember, Bride, when I taught you about Lot, the first sin of Lot when he left Abraham, because Abraham told him, you can have any of this that you want, and I'll go the opposite way. You pick it. Oh, Lot saw the prettiest piece of land and said, I want that land over there. So he chose the prettiest plains in the land. Well, the first sin that Lot did is he pitched his tent towards Sodom. What does that mean? He put his heart towards Sodom. He had his eyes on Sodom. That was his first sin. He looked upon the unclean thing. Then he probably touched the unclean thing, because the next sentence or two, he's living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then after he brought all them hundreds of thousands or million people in there, he left with him, his wife, and two daughters. Lost his sons-in-laws, everything he was attached to, God demolished, did it not? Everything from that point forward got tainted, bride. Please hear my heart. Soon as he touched the unclean thing, that was it. Wiped out a whole crew there. And we have seen it over and over and over just so far. And we're in the book of Leviticus. I mean, I have never read the Bible through like this, especially through a Bible study where we're just digging in the Word. I'm so excited to see what God does now that he's clarifying his heart about all this stuff. All right, let's keep going.
And when the sun is down, he shall be clean, and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. That which dieth of itself, or is torn with beasts, he shall not eat to defile himself therewith. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep mine ordinance, lest they bear sin for it, and die therefore if they profane it. I, the Lord, do sanctify them. There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing. A sojourner of the priest, or an hired servant, shall not eat of the holy thing. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it. And he that is born in his house, they shall eat of his meat. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, she may not eat of an offering of the holy things. But if the priest's daughter be a widow, or divorced, and have no child, and is returned unto her father's house, as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat. But there shall no stranger eat thereof.
Pause, pause, pause! That right there tells us God's heart. Let's examine this, bride. This may be a long Bible study. This is good stuff. Okay, now he's saying, who has the right to the holy things? Remember when he consecrated the priest? They put all the oil on their head, and they put them in their ephod, and they put it on their ear and all this. Remember how specific they was consecrated? They had to wash themselves and all this stuff. So he's saying only those people eat the holy things. So this is what God describes as holy. If the priest's daughter also be married to a stranger, which means a foreigner, remember the mixing? She may not eat of an offering of the holy things. But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced, and have no child, and is returned unto her father's house. In other words, if she's under his mantle. But there shall no stranger eat thereof. And if a man eat of the holy thing unwittingly, then he shall put the fifth part thereof into it, and shall give it to the priest with the holy thing. In other words, pay his tithes. All right, let's keep going.
And if a man eat of the holy thing unwittingly, then he shall put the fifth part thereof unto it, and shall give it unto the priest with the holy thing. And they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they offer unto the Lord, or suffer them to bear the iniquity of trespass, when they eat their holy things, for I the Lord do sanctify them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, Whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows, and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish, of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, It shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind, or broken, or maimed, or having a wen, or scurvy, or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord, either a bullock, or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised, or crushed, or broken, or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you.
Bruh, I'm telling you what, if we are not learning so much. At least I am. I'm having a revelation over here. I'm having revival of the Word. Because this is like, you just, it's like eating a T-bone steak. It's like, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm just so thankful. Remember we was talking about touching the unclean thing, being in, not doing all this. Listen to what he says on top of that. Neither from a stranger's hand shall you offer the bread of your God of any of these. Which means what you have with God is between you and God. Don't cast your pearls before the swine, basically is what this is, right? And then he says, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you. Why? Because they're tainted. They're unholy. They're touching the unclean thing. They're serving the wrong God. Because the Bible says, you either serve the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of hell. There's not an in-between here. You're either serving God and living right, which is right living, or you're serving the devil. Which, did you know that when you serve yourself, you serve the devil? Okay. So I thought that was neat that he said that about not to mix with the foreigners because it brings corruption. Corruption. It says it right here. Because their corruption is in them. And blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you. And bride, I think about the bride of Christ, us. Okay? When Jesus comes back, what does it say? I'm coming back for a bride without spot and wrinkle. Without spot and wrinkle. No blemish. Well, how's the only way we can do that, bride? The only way we can stay without spot and blemish, we're learning. Don't look like Egypt, act like Egypt, talk like Egypt, partner with Egypt, be tainted by Egypt, be polluted by Egypt. Come on now. Separate thyself. We're children of the living God. He wants us looking like Him, being a reflection of Him, holiness and pure. Okay? So, let's continue here. Man, this is good stuff. Woo! Thank you, Lord. All right.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam, and from the eighth day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And whether it be cow or ewe, ye shall not kill it and her young both in one day. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up. Ye shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord.
Bride, I just thought of something. Why does God say that? Maybe somebody watching this can illuminate this for me. Because here's what's in my spirit. Which I know the Holy Spirit's teaching is right. He says here, on the same day shall be eaten up. What did we learn in the other days? God said the same thing about them. Maybe the second day, but on the third day it's impure. You're not allowed to eat it. What is it about eating it on the day that it's sacrificed? Fresh, maybe? Because it says, on the same day it shall be eaten up. You shall leave none of it until tomorrow. Okay, and then I thought about the children of Israel. When God fed them the manna, remember he told them, you must eat it and leave none till tomorrow. Why is that? If somebody can answer that for me, maybe the Word will explain it to me. Or rather, Holy Spirit, you can show me as well. Leave none until tomorrow. I am the Lord. See, there he is again. I'm jealous for you. There's a reason he's saying this. I'm just not catching it in my spirit yet. So if you have the answer, please let me know. Why does God want his things eaten on the same day? All right, let's keep going.
Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord.
He is serious about bringing us out of Egypt. Look what he said again. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. So, Brian, let me look this up over here. Let me go over here. I'm going to type in hallowed and see what that means. Okay, it means to honor as holy. Okay, all right, Lord. Make holy and consecrate. Greatly revered or respected. Okay, so now let's read again. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be greatly revered and respected among the children of Israel. I will be consecrated among the children of Israel. I will be honored as holy among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. Wow. Don't that just make you want to cry? I feel his presence. Yes, Lord. He is the one that makes us holy, and he knows what it's going to take to make us holy. Oh, I feel his presence so much. Help me, Jesus. Okay, we're on chapter 23, Brian.
Leviticus 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day, when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meat offering thereof, shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the 1/4 part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute for ever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow, after the 7th Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven, they are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without a blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering, and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute for ever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
Brian, I just have to pause right here because, you know, there's so much that's been spoken about the judgment that's coming, and I'm weighing everything by the Word of God and, you know, like learning this as a child. Do you know what I mean? And when I see these things, it just hits my spirit. Well, this is one of them. How many times through Leviticus have we seen where God said, whenever you have a harvest, you are to leave some for the poor? And I believe that is what God is talking about in the judgment coming. These rich people that have left out the poor, they have gleaned the field but kept it all for themselves. They've been hoarding, greedy hoarding, and making fun of the poor, not helping the poor, hurting his people, not helping. You know what I'm saying? Because when you look at it like this, you see God's heart. God's heart, and he's saying it right here. When I bless you, my children, when I give you all this, and I give you this land, I want you to leave the corners for the poor. Just leave them, you know, a little bit for the poor. Bring the priest his part. Bring me my part. And then consider the poor. And this right here, that kind of hurts the prosperity gospel, don't it? We must be considerate of the poor, because he says, and when you reap the harvest of the land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. In other words, you're not to be selfish. And I know when we did this 40 days, and we did, one of the days was the idol of greed. And another day was something else. Oh, material. Material things was an idol. One thing that the Lord really stressed that day in the prayer closet is that when God gives us things, it's not for us. We may be a steward of it for a little while, but he's going to have us give things away. He wants people like this. He wants people to be conduits, to give things away, to let be used as an arm, not to take the blessings. And this is what I see right now in the Pentecostal church, which now I know it's the ecumenical and the emergent and all that, but that has really been grievous to me over the years, is how they do. They're very selfish. Like, They'll go to this meeting and this meeting. Give me word, give me word, give me word. But they never go out and give it out. They don't go to the prisons. They don't go to the nursing homes. They don't go to the jails. They don't go to the streets. They don't help the homeless. All they do is they hoard all this word, all this power, all this impartation, all these anointings, all these mantles, all these words. And they just keep filling, getting fatter and fatter in the spirit, but really it's the spirit of Antichrist, because they're just hoarding. They're greedy, you know, like it's a me deal. It's feeding off the tree, which I talk about in my Organic Christianity book. It's feeding off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they're just feed me. I want to be better. I want to be better. I need this. But they're not out giving away. And I believe that's what God is saying here. We're learning His heart, bro. We're learning our daddy, our papa. We're learning Him. When we have an abundance, He wants us to help others and to give it away. And listen, after we went in the middle of doing the 40-day hours, we just did this about the materialism and God letting us know in the prayer closet that we have been too selfish and we have hoarded things, and here we are with an abundance and all these people out here needy, so that He's holding us accountable. It wasn't long after that, this woman came and I was giving her, the Lord told me to give her my living room furniture. And I looked at her and I said, "What do you have?" And she said, I didn't know this woman from anything, you know. She said, "I have a bed." I said, "Do you have sheets?" She said, "No." I went and got her sheets. I said, "Do you need blankets?" I went and gave her blankets. I said, "Do you need dishes?" I gave her dishes, forks, spoons. I loaded this girl up. Everything that I could think of to give her, to set her up. And she looked at me. She was crying. She said, "Why would you do all this for me? You don't even know me." And I said, "Because of this darn 40-day team. That's why." I said, "We've been doing these idols and the Lord's been getting on to us because we've been hoarding. And here I am with 20 forks. What do I need with 20 forks? And you're sitting here telling me you have no forks. So here, take you 10 of them." You know what I'm saying? And so she left so blessed. And you know what happened, Bride? I ended up blessed because I love knowing I helped this girl. But see, that it's taught me so much. And since then, God's just had me give everything away. I've given away my TV equipment. I've given away my car, given away my bedroom suit, the living room suit, my pictures on the wall, clothes, makeup, all kinds of stuff. Because you know what? I just have the revelation now that nothing I have is mine. It's all God's. And that this right here is confirmation. Well, hey, let's keep going.
"Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of this seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God."
Basically, what I hear God saying in this is, I don't want you working. I don't want you distracted. I want you to know what you're doing. I want you to do these feasts like the trumpets, and I want you to do it unto me, and I want all your attention. That's what He's saying. Let's keep going.
"For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. He shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. And ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, and a meat offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings which ye give unto the Lord, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the 1st day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the 1st day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto...
What? He's saying you got a party for 7 days and rejoice before your God. How awesome is that? But hey, guess what was the first thing that popped in my spirit whenever I saw that? Jesus, right before he was crucified. Remember when he was riding through the city on the donkey and they was waving the palm branches and doing all the dancing? That's the first thing I thought of. And he says, Okay, you shall take the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Well, you know what my question is, maybe somebody else out there can answer this for me. When did all this stop? That's what I want to know. I mean, what changed this? When it says you do something throughout all your generations, it says, it shall be a statute forever in your generations. Oh, okay. I forgot. Maybe it's just only the children of Israel in Israel, the Jews. Basically, the ones that still hold to the feast to this day, I believe they do. Because I'm thinking, do we do that? You know, because now we're grafted in, but I guess God will tell us through here, through the word, through this, right? All right, Brad, let's keep.
For the Lord 7 days in the year, it shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Leviticus 24. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. And thou shalt take fine flour, and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in 1 cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses. And his mother's name was Shilameth, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward, that the mind of the Lord might be shown them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it, and he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. He shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. And Moses spake to the children of Israel, that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp, and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. Leviticus 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed. For it is a year of rest unto the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beast that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, Thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee, according to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it, for according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee.
Bride, the reason I'm so excited is I'll be 50 this year. This is my Jubilee year. And listen, I had somebody prophesy to me, I guess it was 5 years ago, or it was 4 years ago, and they said, your 50th year will be the best year of your life. And I am excited, bride. June the 9th is my birthday. I am so excited. I'm receiving this. This is my Jubilee year. Yes, Lord. All right, let's keep going.
Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land in safety, and the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. The land shall not be sold for ever, for the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee, and in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. And if a man sell a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold, within a full year may he redeem it. And if it be not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established for ever to him that bought it throughout his generations. It shall not go out in the Jubilee. But the houses of the villages which have no wall round about them shall be counted as the fields of the country. They may be redeemed, and they shall go out in the Jubilee. Notwithstanding the cities of the Levites, and the houses of the cities of their possession, may the Levites redeem at any time. And if a man purchase of the Levites, then the house that was sold, and the city of his possession, shall go out in the year of Jubilee, for the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the children of Israel. But the field of the suburbs of their cities may not be sold, for it is their perpetual possession. And if thy brother be waxen poor, and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger, or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him, or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as an hired servant, and as a sojourner. He shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shalt fear thy God. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, and they
Okay, pause. I want to make sure I'm understanding this right. Okay, so now he's talking about who is a servant, a slave, and who is not. So he's saying, if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen into decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him, don't charge him, in other words, or increase. But fear your God, that your brother may live with thee. In other words, bless him. Thou shalt not give him the money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. So in other words, don't worry about the money. I am your God. I brought you out. I'm going to take care of you, basically, is what I'm hearing. And so he said, and if thy brother that dwelleth with you waxen poor and be sold unto you. Now this is if one of the Israelites gets sold unto another one because they're poor or whatever. Thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant. That's interesting, isn't it? So if an Israelite come to you and they owed you money, they can serve you, but they're not considered a slave. Basically is what this is saying. And then he says, but as an hired servant and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and he shall serve thee until the year of Jubilee. Remember, Jubilee is the 50th year. So what he's saying is if they owe you money, they can come serve you and work it off, basically. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return to his own family and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. In other words, he will be restored unto his dignity because he's the children of Israel. He's God's chosen. For they are my servants, there you go, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. So they can never be slaves again. That's what he's saying right here. Because remember, Egypt had the children of Israel as slaves. Okay, for 400 years they were slaves. So he's saying they will not be again. And then he said, thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shall fear the God. Fear thy God. In other words, treat him with respect, knowing I'm watching. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, which means it's okay to have slaves, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall you buy bondmen and bondsmaids. Wow. So, I always knew that was in the Old Testament, but that's what he's saying. In other words, the chosen are not slaves, but the ones that are the heathens are slaves and you're able to buy them. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall you buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begot in your land, and they shall be your possession. And you shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. Wow. Because remember, the children of Israel were slaves with rigor. Remember that? All right, Brad, let's continue.
Shall be your possession. And you shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee. And the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years. According to the time of an hired servant shall it be with him. If there be yet many years behind, according unto them, he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him, and according unto his years shall he give him again the price of his redemption. And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants, they are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Wow, that answered it right there, Brad. Remember we was talking about this. We are his servant. Remember I said he bought us with a price? That's what he's saying right here. This is Leviticus. Leviticus 25, verse 55. Right there. Put it on a plaque. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So, Brian, we're all slaves. Come on now. Basically, that's what that is. We're a slave unto God, who has bought us. Oh, my goodness. This is so amazing. Okay, now we're on chapter 26. This is so good today, Brian.
Verse 26. Ye shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land, to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths, and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go upright. But if ye will not hearken unto...
Woo! Bam in your face, devil! Come on now! Does this not fire you up, bride? I've got chill bumps. I'm telling you, I am on fire over here. Yes, Lord. Look at what he says. Bride, I'm telling you, I'm about to cry. I'm about to shout. I'm about to run. He let us know in the last chapter, bride, we are his servants. We are bond slaves to him, right? Because he bought us. He paid for us. He brought us out of Egypt. Okay? And then with us, the Gentiles, he bought us through Jesus. Okay? So look, he says, you shall make no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Remember, he's putting his foot down, staking his claim. He's the Lord. You shall keep my Sabbaths, and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Come on. This dispels all the emergent church and all them saying, you don't have to do the commandments. That's in the Old Testament. Please, people. These are boundaries from God Himself. Yes, Lord. I just love the blessings that come with this. Look, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then, how do these people think we're going to have an abundance of rain? If we're not doing that, that's the least we should do. Keeping His commandments. When we're telling people it's okay to sin, and it's okay to cross His commandments, how do we expect a blessing on that bride? That's what I was saying about this revival. How are we expecting this great revival to fall with our country like this? People are not repentant. They're not looking at themselves. They're not honest before God. He cannot bless sin. But He says, if you do, this is what He'll do. Come on now. Then I will give you rain in due season. How many's waiting on their season? And the land shall yield her increase. Abundance of rain is coming, bride. And the trees of the field shall yield her fruit. Hallelujah. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land and shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Bride, I'm telling you, with the judgment coming, the remnant does not have to worry, okay? The remnant, I mean, we're going to see suffering, but we're going to be protected. We're going to see such supernatural provision, supernatural protection. I mean, things like, bride, let's say, like right here, I'm in this little trailer, okay? And let's say this whole land is flooding. It may be just completely dry surrounding this trailer. Everything else flooding and washing away. That's the kind of supernatural protections we will have. I'm telling you, bride, we do not have to fear. When we was in Washington, D.C. last week, we had a prelude of what's coming. We had a freak storm just come up in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning. These winds, 70-mile-an-hour winds, we was on the 20th floor of this high tower building called the Presidential Towers, overlooking Washington, D.C., on the 20th floor in the penthouse suite, room 12, representing government. Anyways, we was up there hearing these winds that were shaking the building, sounding like demons screaming. All day long it did that, bringing destruction in the land, shutting the government down, sirens going off, trees falling everywhere, accidents, freak snowstorm, and all this while we were safe in a building with our car underground protected. We was protected. We knew it too. We knew immediately what God was doing, and He was showing us we're going to be just like this when this hits. Protected, safe, with a house full of groceries. Everybody else around scared. Because we are the remnant, we are His children, and He has bought us with a price. And that's what it's saying right here. I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. Why? Because the prayers of the righteous availeth much, and he loves the prayers of his righteous where he has. It's a sweet smell, sweet savor unto the Lord, but sin is a stench to his nostrils. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you will be my people. But there's a requirement, isn't it? The requirement is that you keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. Honor him. Keep his Sabbath and reverence his sanctuary. Walk in my statutes. Walk in holiness, basically, is what he's saying. So this is the time, bride, for us to clean our house. Clean our house. Examine our hearts. Separate ourselves. And let the Lord purify us and cleanse us. Amen. Okay, so he says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Does that not just make you want to run and shout? It does me. I am so excited. All right, let's keep going, Brian.
And will not do all these commandments. And if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes, and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if ye walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you, that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight. And ye shall eat, not be satisfied. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths, when ye dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth. And ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies, and ye shall perish among the heathen. And the land of your enemies shall eat you up, and they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them, if they shall confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers, with their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because, even because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses.
Wow. There is so much to this, Brad. Because he's saying, if you do all this, I'll bless you. But then he says right here, if you don't, this is what I'm going to do. You heard all the many different ways. But this is the only way to get out of his cursing. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them unto the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then they accept the punishment of their iniquity. When we did the 40-day idols, we repented to the Lord. The Lord gave that to me in a dream and said, I want you to do one idol a day, and I want y'all to repent and come before the throne and be honest with me and address these issues before me. We did for 40 days. And he wants us to be honest with him. So what he's saying is if you refuse to serve me and you turn around and you're stubborn, then this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Well, if you decide to do it this way, well, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And then he's saying the only way to get out of this is true repentance. Then he talks about the land, the price of the land. Remember, we've been learning about the land. And he said, the land also shall be left for them. Oh no, he says, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Remember, he made a covenant with all three. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. See how the land is separate? And the land also is held accountable to God for the sins that we do. It's kind of sad, isn't it? But see, God is also judging us on how we treat his land. Are we taking care of his land? Remember, he's got these rules. And he says, you can do this for 5 years, you can do this for 7, but on the 7th year, that land needs to rest. It needs to rest. Give it time to heal. Isn't that something? Kind of like it's a human. That's the way he treats it. But he holds us accountable. And then he says, the land also shall be left for them and shall enjoy her Sabbaths. Like, see, he's talking to her like a she, while she lieth desolate without thee. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. In other words, they were stubborn and stiff-necked. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made. And you know what's in my spirit right now is Lot. You know, God could have destroyed Lot for what he did. Amen. And the reason he didn't, Bride, is because of his covenant he made with Abraham. Lot was his family. And what did the angels say when they came to get Lot? We cannot destroy this city until we get you out. See, God protects those like that. Okay, so now we're on the last chapter. He's finished with his laws. He's finished with his statutes. He's finished with his time on that. Now, let's see what he says. Now, this is the last chapter in the book of Leviticus. So I believe that Leviticus is the laws. The laws that he wants for his people. So let's continue here.
Leviticus 27. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the person shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old even unto 60 years old, even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be a male, then thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability that vowed shall the priest value him. And if it be a beast, whereof men bring an offering unto the Lord, all that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy. He shall not alter it, nor change it, a good for a bad, or a bad for a good. And if he shall at all change beast for beast, then it and the exchange thereof shall be holy. And if it be any unclean beast, of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest. And the priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad, as thou valuest it, who art the priest, so shall it be. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part thereof unto thy estimation. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. And if he that sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof, an homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he sanctify his field from the year of Jubilee according to thy estimation, it shall stand. But if he sanctify his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even unto the year of the Jubilee, and it shall be abated from thy estimation. And if he that sanctified the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be assured to him. And if he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it goeth out in the jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord, as a field devoted. The possession thereof shall be the priest's. And if a man sanctify unto the Lord a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of the jubilee, and he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. In the year of the jubilee, the field shall return unto him of whom it was bought, even to him to whom the possession of the land did belong. And all thy estimation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. 20 gerahs shall be the shekel. Only the firstling of the beasts, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding no devoted thing, that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted, which shall be devoted of men, shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai.
Wow. Well, Brad, that continues our Bible study, but I want to point out something. How many times did we see that it said to add a fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be insured unto the priest? And then it said it again over here. That was verse 19. Then it said in verse 27, add a fifth part of it thereto, if it not be redeemed, it should be sold. And then it said, every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. And then it says in verse 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. If a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd, the flock, even whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So, seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's, holy unto the Lord, and all the tithe of the land. And if a man will it redeem it, all of his, he shall add fifth part. A tenth shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither he shall change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy, and it shall not be redeemed. Wow, I'm going to tell y'all something about tithing. My mother said till the day she died at 75 last year, that she believed that was the reason she was so blessed and taken care of, is because she always tithed. Always gave that 10% plus the offerings. So, Bride, look, this has been so good. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. I am so on fire right now. I am so thankful to the Lord for revealing all this to us. It's been amazing. I love you, Bride, and look, we just finished Leviticus. I am excited about Numbers to see what God is going to do in Numbers. Amen. All right, Bride, I will see you tomorrow.